Hi there, welcome to the Neurodivergent Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Griffith, and I am so excited to have you here. On this podcast, we talk about all forms of neurodivergence, from ADHD to learning disorders to giftedness to autism and more. If any of that sounds familiar, welcome to Neurodivergent Magic. Hello, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, and welcome back to another episode of the Neurodivergent Magic Podcast. Today, I am excited and nervous because we are tackling a topic that I have some thoughts on, and I've had some thoughts on for a while, but I wasn't 100% sure how to articulate what I thought until now. So we are going to be talking about the idea of female autism and, in general, the genderization of neurodivergence and frankly, why I think it's problematic and unhelpful. So let's just dive on in. So let's just start with a quick acknowledgement that there are many presentations of autism, right? We know there's the PDA profile, the pathological demand avoidance profile. There's the HSP profile, the highly sensitive person profile. There are people who match the stereotypes quite well, and there are people who do not. And I want to say that this discussion is not meant to dismiss anyone's presentation of autism or neurodivergence, okay? This discussion is meant to provide some nuance and, some context for why it can be kind of problematic and unhelpful to categorize something as female versus male when it comes to neurodivergence. So if you haven't heard, there's a very popular thing in the autism community known as female autism. I don't know exactly who popularized this, or maybe it's always kind of been a thing. I'm not sure. But for me, my first introduction to female autism was Samantha Kraft's unofficial checklist for autism or Asperger's in women. That was my introduction to female autism. And as I said in my disclaimer, this list was so helpful, okay? I am not bashing people who talk about the female version of autism. I'm offering some constructive criticism on how we label it, okay? That's what I'm offering. This list, if you haven't seen Samantha Kraft's checklist, I will link it in the show notes so that you can check it out. It was one of the main reasons I finally realized, oh, I definitely might be autistic. And I think anything that makes autistic people feel seen and heard and witnessed and understand that who they are is not weird or broken or bad, but is rather, you know, autistic, anything that does that is important, vital, and I want to protect it. I just think there's a way to do that without the genderization of autism. So let's talk about why this is, as I keep saying, problematic and unhelpful, because I don't want to call it bad. I don't want to call it other things. It's just, I think it presents some problems, and I don't think it's the most helpful lens we could use. So why? Why do I believe that? Well, first of all, you have to consider when we talk about female autism, are we talking about biological sex or are we talking about gender? Like, what are we talking about here? Because these are separate things, right? You know, like biology and socialization are very different. How we choose to identify gender-wise is very different than how we choose to identify, you know, biologically, and the choices we make that affect our biology, like hormone replacement therapy and things like that can affect it. So problem number one, in short, is that the idea of female autism is incredibly trans-exclusionary, right? Like, it doesn't address non-binary folks. It doesn't address maybe men who were socialized as women, but they're men now. Like, would they be allowed to claim the title of, like, female autism? And would that maybe be dysphoric or uncomfortable for them to do so? It leaves out, especially when you consider that autistic folks, because we naturally question social norms and we don't fit into them very easily, a huge percentage of autistic folks are trans. And so to have an entire concept in the autism community that is trans exclusionary is very, very silly to me. Okay, on a related note, but I did kind of gloss over it, we do need to talk about like the biological differences that can be present amongst different neurodivergent and autistic folks, because I do think those exist. Now, I don't really think it's helpful to talk about it in terms of male or female, because again, that's really reductionist. Like intersex people exist, people with hormonal conditions, like PCOS, exist, you know, like your hormones are going to be really different than someone without PCOS, for example. PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome, by the way. And it profoundly affects hormones. But I do think it's important to talk about, you know, hormones especially and neurodivergence and how it can present, because so many women who are going through menopause or perimenopause are like, holy shit, no one warned me that my ADHD was going to get so much worse. Like, why are we not talking about this? And the truth is we're not talking about it because it hasn't been researched. Researchers more or less just didn't research women, let alone adult women, when it came to ADHD. And when I say women, researchers didn't research people with, you know, traditionally female hormones. I want to be trans inclusionary and not like my last point, you know. But it was a huge, huge area that just wasn't researched. Periods were not researched in regards to neurodivergence. Menopause was not researched in regards to neurodivergence. And these things do make a profound difference, okay? Autistic folks can often really struggle with periods, you know, whether they're male, female, whatever, intersex. Periods are a bit of a sensory nightmare, if we're being honest, right? Like, they suck. So that can be a big thing. Hormones can affect your, like how often you experience meltdowns, for example. The week before your period can be really difficult for ADHDers, at least in my experience. My executive dysfunction goes through the roof the week before my period. Pregnancy, that's another big one that we really don't research enough in the world of neurodivergence. I'm currently pregnant and my ADHD has never been worse. Never in my life has my executive dysfunction been this bad, except maybe last time I was pregnant. So we don't research that enough. So I just want to take a second to recognize that there are hormonal differences that can represent symptoms and traits differently. And that's not something I want to erase. But here's the thing that a lot of TERFy women get upset about. So TERF is like a trans exclusionary radical feminist, people who don't believe trans women are women, and it's nonsense, they're wrong. But a lot of TERFs think that if we are more inclusive towards trans women or non-binary folks who menstruate or whatever, they fear that that inclusion erases their identity. And that is something I want to address here. Like, when I say female autism is not a thing and it's not helpful, I don't mean that like hormones, biology, gender, those things don't affect autism. That's not what I said and that's not what I mean, right? What I mean is that just calling a particular subtype of autism, quote unquote, female helps pretty much nobody because except maybe cis white, or I don't know, you don't have to be white, but cis women, right? I suppose it could be helpful if, you know, you weren't bothered by being trans exclusionary, but I think we should all be bothered by that. Hello there, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. I just wanted to interrupt this episode really quick to tell you all about the Neurodivergent Magic Program. This is a program designed to help you cope with executive dysfunction, which is something that almost every neurodivergent person experiences. If you don't know, executive dysfunction is a lot of things, but basically it boils down to you want to do the thing, you are trying to do the thing, and you just can't, and you feel awful. What this program, the Neurodivergent Magic Program, does is it helps you cope with executive dysfunction through a combination of practical and emotional tools. We'll cover body doubling and building momentum, but we'll also talk about the shame that is often deeply rooted in a lot of neurodivergent people because we grew up in a neurotypical society that wasn't accepting of us. And if you're thinking, what in the world does shame have to do with executive dysfunction? Kind of everything. And I would love to teach you about it. So this is a program where the whole goal is to teach you to get shit done in 24 hours or less. So if you are really struggling with your ability to accomplish tasks and to feel good about it, that is what this program is designed to help you with. And I can't wait to see you there. Check out the show notes for the link to join or send me an email at megan@neurodivergentmagic.com. Additionally, a whole other issue when it comes to this is that not everyone who relates to the quote-unquote female version of autism is female, biologically or gender-wise or whatever. Like, what about the men who exhibit the signs of quote-unquote female autism? How weird must that feel for them? You know, like, if that's not the gender you associate yourself with, but that is the label that your community has come up with for your type of autism, like, I don't know, I have to imagine that that doesn't feel great and can be really isolating. And maybe, you know, you don't want to say, oh, I have the female version of autism when you're a man, like, that might not feel very good. And so I just think the word we're looking for isn't female. Does that make sense? Like, to describe this particular subset of autism, I don't think the word we're looking for is female, but I think our society associates a lot of these traits with very feminine features. So for example, if you don't know much about the quote-unquote female version of autism, it tends to be defined by, you know, high sensitivity, high emotional sensitivity, and in addition to high sensory sensitivity and whatnot that usually goes with autism. It can be defined by being a very deep thinker and being very self-reflective, you know, just quote-unquote feminine traits, I guess. So I get where it came from. I just think we can do better. Now, to the autism community's credit, I am not the first person to be talking about this, not even close. In fact, I do want to acknowledge that a lot of my thoughts on this have been informed by Devin Price. He wrote Unmasking Autism. He has a really interesting Instagram account. I know he's also on Tumblr. I'm not really on there anymore, but I know he's more active over there. I will include his links in the show notes. But I'm not the first person to notice or mention this. So I think some people have started describing this as like high masking autism. And I think that is better, for sure. But I also wonder if maybe we should call it, you know, something like self-reflective autism, or maybe, honestly, maybe the female version of autism is just the highly sensitive person profile. I could see that, you know, which granted, the idea that the highly sensitive person is a profile of autism is a relatively new idea, not necessarily in the autism community. A lot of autistic folks have known this for a long time, but it's starting to come into the cultural zeitgeist. Like, you know, it's starting to become more common knowledge that if you identify as an HSP, you are likely autistic. So maybe this is just the HSP profile, or maybe it's something else, but I think we can do better than calling it the female version of autism. So yeah, those are my thoughts on the female version of autism, the genderization of neurodivergence. And I hope that this episode was helpful. Hopefully it helped you rethink some things, or, you know, helped you feel seen and included in this community if you've maybe felt excluded by ideas like the female version of autism before. I hope this was helpful, and I will talk to you next Saturday. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you give us a follow over on Spotify, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts, and tune in next Saturday for another amazing episode.